my ideas, and you just push them aside. Lord, that you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that you touch us individually and personally in ways that a man could never do. Help us, Lord. Help us to hear you speak to us this day. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We start off with probably without a doubt. Probably without a doubt. That's almost a misstatement. But anyway, probably maybe after a doubt. We're going to start off with one of the most important verses in the Bible. Please join with me as we turn. You can look at all the visitors. You may use your own Bible, of course. The verse sheet that you received in the bulletin. Did anyone not receive a verse sheet? Because I know we ran out of bulletins. Raise your hand. Miss Bonnie's ready to give you a verse sheet if you didn't receive one. It helps you to keep up. I know you'd like to follow along in the Bible if you can. The trouble is we move pretty fast. So that's the only reason why we have the verse sheets, just so you can keep up with us. I like a lot of verses. Oh, look at Miss Cassidy wants one. That's good. I expect you to memorize that first page. Okay, Cassidy? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. All right. We're going to begin with Matthew 22:35. Please join me as we read. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandments. I do believe that these are probably, if you could only access one thing in the Bible, and you really wanted to know what it was all about, it's right here. This summarizes the entire gospel. It summarizes our Christian walk, summarizes everything. It's so important that we understand this morning. The interesting thing about this is the men that asked this question, they weren't even sincere. They wanted to trap Jesus. They thought they were asking him something that he wouldn't know how to answer, and they could accuse him of something. And so they had no sincerity at all about asking him this question. But as it turns out, it's probably the best question that was ever asked. And if you and I had the chance to look face to face, physical body with Jesus back in those days, you would have asked a similar question. Because basically, let me just reword this. God of the universe, who created all things, who knows all things, of all things by men and by God, what is the most important thing? Taking all truths throughout history, and if you were to sum up all reality, what would you say is the most important thing to possibly consider? That's a dynamic question. His answer at first seems somewhat simplistic. It seems somewhat limited, but that's because it has so much meat to it. You see, the men he was talking to, you notice he didn't use a parable here. Most of us know that when Jesus was talking to the masses, he would use a parable to make a particular point clear. He used parables in almost every one of his sermons to the people. He didn't in this case. Why? These were scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and men that were supposed to know the Word of God. And they did know the Word of God. They knew it just enough to twist it. They were just religious enough to think themselves pretty smart. And Jesus knew that they knew exactly what he was talking about. They may have acted like they didn't, but they did. And you know the interesting thing, folks, as much as we plead ignorance, as much as we would like to say, oh, we're not quite sure what he means there, so I'm not ready to make any kind of commitment. You and I do know what Jesus is talking about here. It's very important for us to be honest before the Lord this morning when he says this is the most important commandment of all times. When you consider this, let's look at heart, soul, and spirit. When we look at those terms, what do they include? Man consists basically of three parts. Theologians over the years have altered that a little bit, but pretty much everyone agrees in three different parts. The heart and the body being the physical part. That's the part that I'm hitting with my knee. That's my physical part. Okay. The second part is the soul. The soul is life. Life is in me right now. If I drop dead of a heart attack, my soul is dead. It's gone. That life is gone. Soul is also wrapped up in the emotions and many of the things that we have that make us different from the animals. Animals have life. But you know what? They don't have the same. As much as many people want to say animals are the same as people, they're not, okay? And so even though we love our animals, they're not the same as people. And there's a part of us that is different in life, in the way we handle life, in the way we have emotions, the way we love, the way we react to love, the way we hate, the bad ones too, that makes us different. That's a part of the soul. Now, what is spirit? Spirit is that eternal part of us that never dies. Never dies. Your spirit goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. It is tied to God, as far as that's the part of God gave us something special and unique in the fact that we are eternal spirits. But of course, some of us know that the spirit will either be tied in presence of God or away from God if you still have sin in your life, because God can't abide with sin. So it is that final element that we call the spirit that basically lives throughout eternity in one place or the other. We must understand body, soul, and spirit says something very real to us. It's every bit of us. All of us. Total. There's no way you cannot apply this to your life. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said he is first. God is first in every aspect of our lives. Everything we think, everything we feel, every desire we have, everything should be dedicated to God. Physically, should we go out and get drunk and do drugs and all this stuff? No, because God says our body is dedicated to God first. Morally, should we live around things that are going to pull down our attitude and our emotions? Of course not, because we should dedicate it to God first. One of the things we talked about this morning is after salvation, how can you still know you're saved? Because we're going to sin next week. It's because Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. But that is not license to sin. As Paul said, should we go on sinning? Oh, no! We don't have license to sin, because if you go on a sinning, two things. You're showing distaste and hate for God, but also you're going to live a life of misery. But if you dedicate your life to God first, then you will be blessed. Here's an illustration that most of us in this room can relate to. Some of us in here have never been in love. Look to your wife and look to your husband. Make sure they're shaking. Oh, I understand. If you've ever been in love, especially as a teenager, I think our teenage loves, it's interesting. Teenage loves aren't as long, but they are definitely more passionate as far as our caring and being crazy about it and sold out to love. If you've ever been in love, or you remember those times that you were in love, you remember how focused you were on that particular person. I mean, Bonnie and I have been married, we're going on 40 years in December. For our 40th anniversary is coming up. And I remember the early years, no matter how much we fought, no matter how much we yelled at each other, which we did a lot of, no matter how many times we broke up, my insides would just burn with love. And when we fought, it would burn with sadness. And when we made up, it burned with happiness. I was passionate about my love for Bonnie. Not that I'm not now, but let's just, 40 years of fire spreads out a little bit. Am I in trouble now? Like the waistline, it spreads out a little bit. No, I still love her. She's still my best friend in the whole wide world. The thing that I want us to understand this morning is most of us relate to those early loves, the first love. That's the way we should feel about God. That's the way you should feel about God. Can you imagine your first love if you treated them the way you and I treat God? With leftover time, leftover energy, leftover effort. Oh yeah, I forgot to pray today, God. But okay, I'll pray. I got to go to bed. I got to go sleep really fast. So I only got about 30 seconds for you tonight, God. So here it is. Can you imagine your first love giving that kind of lackadaisical attitude? She or he would say, I'll find somebody else. We must understand the passion and the call of this verse. We are to love God totally, every part of us, above everything else. If you love God 100%, I hope I hope that you will want to know who God is. We're going to look at who God is, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Satan. But I want us to understand who God is. And most of us know these verses. Most of you could at least know what it's going to say. But I want to give you the biblical evidence of who God is. Why should we love Him? Why should we care about Him? God is good. God is good. The Bible is full of descriptive terms, and we just got some of them here today. God is good. He is goodness, the goodness of God. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I love that part about Him because He loves me no matter how bad I am. No matter how much I blow it, God still loves me. And boy, do I need it. I need that kind of grace. I need that kind of love, that no matter how many mistakes I make in a day, I can bow my head and say, Lord, I love you so much, and I'm so glad that you love me. Most of you who've been in my office know that's right by, as I was walk out the door, that's the sign right by my door, is I know one thing, I love God, and God loves me. And that is a tremendous thing to hold on through tough times. Amen? He loves you. His goodness and His love endures forever. Holiness of God, the perfection, perfect. Leviticus 19:2. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, be perfect, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And this, of course, is not just speaking to the children of Israel. This is speaking to you and I too. God's telling us this morning, be holy, be perfect. You say, can I be holy? Can I be perfect? You can't be totally holy, but totally perfect. But you know what? You can strive towards it. Amen? Stop settling for less. Christians, we settle so easy, don't we, for less than perfection. We must strive towards perfection. The consistency of God. 1 Samuel 15:29. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. I can't help but think about the Mormon belief that God is a man. Right there it says he's not. And praise God he isn't. Amen. We'd all be in trouble. I've shared with you before, one thing I love about God is the fact he doesn't change his mind. What if after 1,000 years in heaven, all of a sudden he puts a 6-foot limit? Everybody's got to be over 6 foot to stay. I mean, I'd be in trouble. I usually use hair as an example, but I skipped that one today. I said 6 foot. But anybody under 6 foot is going to be kicked out of heaven. Guess what? God will not change the rules. In a billion, billion years, they will be the same rules. And that is a tremendous blessing of God, because how many people do you know that never change their mind? Your best friend, you talk to them one day, and the next day they're going to be completely changed in some areas. That's people. Praise God, He doesn't change. The generosity of God. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He gives us, you know, if we had time, every one of us could go around the room and name at least 5 things that you really are thankful you have, whether it be families or whether it be your house or your car or your food. Some of us like food more than others, but we'd be thankful for it. Folks, don't we understand that it comes from God? God gives us that. And we must understand it to appreciate it, to appreciate God. The next one is impartiality of God. Acts 10:34, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Once again, I praise God for that quality. He may not like bald men, now I'll use bald, but he likes all of us. He loves all of us. And we need to understand and appreciate that fact, because it's the shed blood of Jesus. You know what's interesting is when we are covered with shed blood of Jesus, we all basically look the same as far as our clean. We're all the same. We all belong to Him. We're all children. And we are clean before the Lord. He loves us all. All powerful, all knowing, Psalms 147:5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. One of the things we talked about in Sunday school with the kids was the fact that God knows where you're supposed to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if you're around that long. God knows exactly where you should be. And we talked about this at great length because it was unique to them. You mean he knows who I'm supposed to marry? He knows my children? And that's the truth. He knows all these things. And I always say, why in the world don't we ask him? Why don't we talk to him more often? He knows what we're supposed to do, and yet we totally ignore him. But isn't it great to have a God that loves you, a Father in heaven, that you can go to and talk to him about anything, and he understands? A God that not only understands, but he has the power to do something about it. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Nothing, no matter what you're struggling with, is not impossible for God to fix it. And here's a quality of God that we don't speak about too much, and that's the jealousy of God. Exodus 25, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children up for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to the thousands of those who love me and keeping my commandments." God does not like other gods before him. And before we start pointing our fingers at the pagans in the middle of Africa or something, we need to understand, if you've got anything in your life that is more important to you than living for God, that is your God. Don't make the very blessings God gives us your God that comes in between you and the true God. Nothing should come first. Seek ye first. The love of God, repeated in 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The love of God is beyond description. He not only loves us, he is love. He is love. What's the definition of love? You can look in 1 Corinthians 13 and you can see it. We're not going to look at it today because it's so lengthy, but you can see it anytime you want to. In fact, I think you need to take it home and read it to one another, because it really challenges us, because that tells you how to love one another the Christian way. But I sum it up like this: is caring more for others than you do yourself. And that's how much God loves us. You think he wanted to die on the cross for us? You think he wanted to humiliate himself as a person? Of course not. He cared more for us and making us sinless and spending eternity in heaven than he did for his own pride. He gave it all up for us. One of the Christian comedians, Chanda Pierce, is she's hilarious. If you ever have a chance to listen to any of her stuff, she's very, very funny. But occasionally, as she's right in the middle of making you laugh, all of a sudden she'll shift into a serious mode. She was talking about her little boy getting braces and how much it hurt him and all this stuff. And she was talking about how he was, after the doctor and the nurse left, you know, the dentist left, he started crying. And then as soon as she saw him crying, she started wailing and just blubbering and saying, "Take these things off! We got to get them off!" Because she just felt the pain of her son. And most of us in this room know what it is like to have a child in pain. It hurts you. It hurts you more than if you had the pain. Can you imagine as God watched his son? As he watched Jesus die and suffer such an agonizing death. How hard it was for him to say, "Continue." You say, "Well, he was God." Yes, he was God, but he was also Son of God. That means a relationship was there where he felt that pain with him. And he would have done anything to keep it from happening. And yet there was only one way, and that was death on the cross to keep you and I in heaven. Praise God, that's love. That's love. While we were still cursing him, he was dying on the cross for us. To know God, you must know Jesus. You must know Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That answers all of the, and please forgive me if this sounds harsh. I don't mean this harsh. I love them. I care for all of them. I want everyone to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we should be compassionate and zealous about sharing the gospel, because there are people out there that don't know Jesus. Folks, if they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have no hope. Because this verse makes it very clear. Jesus says without a shadow of a doubt, no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm it. I'm the only door. As much as we all would love to see all the good people in the world get saved, oh, it'd be great. Folks, we got to understand something. They're not. Now, you can respond in two ways. You can say, Pastor Dennis is no negative thing. Or you can say, I need to get out there and tell those people about the doorway to heaven. And tell them about Jesus. You see why we're so passionate about sharing? We got to share the gospel because there's too many people who don't know it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 7 says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Forgive me, I'm reading bad today. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus was a representative of God. Why? Because he represented the love of God that came to earth. When you saw Jesus, you saw God's love. And that's the only way we can see God is through his love and grace. We must understand and know Jesus. To love God is more than just knowing God. You can say in here this morning, I love God, I appreciate God, I love him, I love him, I love him. But guess what? The Bible says that if you don't go out and serve him, and follow the things that he says, then you don't love him. And what's the old phrase? Giving mouth service? Is that what, lip service. You're just giving lip service to your love. Let's read it. If you don't believe me, please. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. That says this. You can tell all of us in this room that you love Jesus, and that's wonderful. I think that's great. But the Bible says, unless you go out and do what he tells you to do, you do not love him. Unless you live the life that he's calling you to live, you don't love him. Unless you're following, you say, well, Pastor Dennis, what do you mean by keeping his commandments? You read the word of God and you let the Bible guide you and tell you how to live your life. All of those verses that we talk about all the time. Being here this morning. Praise God you're here this morning. We're here to hear something from the Word of God to help us follow His commandments. If you don't know what His commandments are, you can't do them, right? So we're trying to find out. That's what our whole desire is, to know more of His commandments so that we can do more, so that we can what? So we can go to heaven? No, we're already going to heaven. So why are we doing what He wants us to do? Because we love Him. Do you love God? Do you truly love God? Are you doing what he wants you to do with your life? Last week, did you serve Jesus? Did you even think about serving Jesus? Or were you so busy serving yourself and your boss and your job and you're so busy doing all the things that you need to do for yourself, you never even gave in consideration what God wanted you to do? How can you serve him if you never even talked to him about it? If you had a boss that you worked for and you never once asked him what to do and you never once interacted with him and said, am I doing a good job or am I doing what you want me to do? If you never, well, how long did you keep that job? You wouldn't keep that job. And yet Christians, that's what you and I try to do on a daily basis. We ignore the Bible. We ignore the commandments. We ignore what God wants us to do when all we have to do is say, Lord, I'm at a crossroad today. I got to make a decision to go this way or this way. What do you want me to do? And you know what? The Holy Spirit will give you a wonderful guidance. Most of us don't like doing that. You know why? Because he might tell us something we don't want to do. We'd rather do what we want to do our way. We're like that two-year-old. I want it now. Mine. My way. And that's what we continue to do. But the problem is, folks, we can be that way our whole life, and we miss all the blessings. And also, we never tell anybody, especially God, that we love him. We must learn to live for God. Live for God. To love him. Now comes a question. If there are Christians in this world, if there are even people who are not Christian, okay, there's people out there running around who totally don't get it, don't understand this. You know, we many of us know people who totally, even Christians, who you can talk to them and this just kind of whoop, goes right past them. They don't even understand what you're talking about as following God first and turning your back on all these things. What's wrong? I don't understand. How can that happen? If somebody's a Christian, if somebody has a mind to think, why would they not listen and understand what God wants them to do? I'm afraid the answer to that might be found in John 8:42. Please read with me. John 8:42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love him. Love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear that is you do not belong to God." Now, folks, I know I've expanded this a little bit to include Christians, because most of this is kind of applied to non-Christians. It's hard for them to understand the grace of God because it's so beyond understanding. But Christians, you know what? And I think you'll grab what I'm saying here. Hopefully nobody throw a hymnal at me. The bottom line is this. If we don't have the desire to know God, if we are still holding on to that old past sin, our old past lifestyle, our old past, you know what? We're holding on to the old God, and that's Satan. And when you are in that life, and most of us know the longer you're in it, the harder it is to get out of it. Amen? Because you're in it, and it just consumes you, and you begin to understand the language, shall we call it the street language of Satan. You understand what that street language is telling you, but guess what? The duller your attentiveness comes to godly language. That's why it's time, Christians, for us to wake up and to realize if we truly love God, we will seek him. Seek him speaking to our hearts every day, every moment of every day. Make a commitment to understand what he's saying. That's our desire. Body, soul, spirit is to serve the Lord 100%. You say, "Well, I'm not ready to commit to that. I just want to be a part-time Christian." And you can be. There's a lot of part-time Christians. A lot. My first answer is, you're missing so much blessing from God. My second answer to that is, do you love God? There's nowhere in there it said, put God first some of the time. Put God first unless you got something more important to do. Put God first unless you got some other excuse that sounds better to you. Put God first. And that's the way we serve the Lord and show him the love that we claim to have. You say, "Well, Pastor Dennis, I just can't buy that." Well, maybe you're not truly in love with God. Are we? Do we really appreciate what God's for? You know, it's interesting. Jesus speaks a language of love, purity, holiness, sacrifice, self-control. All these things that Jesus speaks. You know what Satan speaks a language of? Lust, self-indulgence, stubbornness, pride, arrogance. Oh, these are the languages of Satan. And unfortunately, sometimes we are so attuned to that worldly language that we don't hear God speaking to us in His godly form. We must begin to get our lives in tune to God so He can truly tell us what He wants from us. Please, don't misunderstand. I'm not, you know, we were talking about negative sermons. This perhaps is more so than I have in past. But let me tell you something, it's really not, because you know what? I'm not telling you this to judge you or point at you or yell at you or scream at you. You know what? I'm telling you this to be blessed. God wants to bless us Christians, and He blesses us the most in His will, following His way. He's telling us every day, here's how to go to be blessed. And you know what we're saying? No, I'd rather go this way. I'm ready to do something else in my life. And God goes, all right, go ahead, do it your way. You'll find out I was right. And we do. We prove that He was right all along. Please, find His will. Listen to Him. Put Him first. The bottom line is, which Father do you want to serve? There's another verse that I don't have in your verse sheet. It's one of my favorite verses. And I think it's because it cuts through all of the conversation and all of the different words that you could use. And that's when Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. You're either gathering with me or you're scattering. What that means is a tremendous challenge for Christians. You are either serving the Lord, gathering people to His kingdom, actively serving the Lord, or you're serving the enemy. Most of us in here would get mad if I came to you personally and said, you're serving Satan. But the Bible says if we're not actively serving Jesus, we're serving Satan. There's no middle, there's no observation booth in Christianity. There's no stadiums to sit in and watch everybody else play and fight. We're in the war, Christians. You're in the war. Isn't it time to pick up a gun and fight? Because the enemy's real. There's a lot of people out there that need us to dedicate our lives to the gospel and to get busy serving God. Why? Because He's done so much for us. We love Him so much that we want to put Him first. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your challenge this morning. Lord, You know my heart. It is not a challenge that I throw out at everyone else. It is a challenge that I feel personal. Every day we fight this. Every day we allow Satan to get us more focused on selfishness, our own visions of what our life should be. And when we get focused on those things, we fail to hear You guiding us. Oh God, begin in my heart. Touch each one of us today with a true understanding of where we're at in our walk with You. Please, Lord, help us to understand what Your will is today for us, tomorrow, as we go into our workplaces and the community next week. Stir our hearts that we will want to serve You, not because of threat or because of punishment or even threat, or not even because of reward, but just because of the fact that we love You so much after all You've done for us. I don't want to serve Satan. I want to serve You, Lord. Help me to have the strength I need, the vision I need, to be all You want me to be. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the men come forward to play our